Posting on the internet can sometimes feel like shouting into the void. Hey, look over here. We have the most important message you will ever receive. God loves you. Hello? Is anyone listening? Sometimes the message is heard and it resonates. Likes, comments, shares, maybe even someone checking out your church online or in person. Other times it's like the proverbial tree that falls in the forest with no one around. Until recently, the way social media algorithms in particular were tuned, there would always be a fairly reliable set of folks who would see your post. It didn't mean that it would drive engagement, but your followers, friends, maybe even some of their friends might see your post on a semi-regular basis. This was called the social graph algorithm. But as we noted in our 2022 wrap-up podcast, things are changing. Due to the popularity of TikTok, it is not just the post format that is changing, with basically every platform leaning heavily into vertical video, but the approach to delivering content is changing as well. Welcome to the era of the discovery algorithm. And on today's episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast, we are talking about one of the ways you can work toward being discovered in 2023. Thank you to everybody for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and the first major switch we need to make in our minds as we prepare content and strategies for online marketing and ministry in this new era is to rethink who is seeing our posts. In the days of the social graph algorithm, our feeds were primarily filled with content from our friends and the pages we follow. For many, many years, this has been way more content than there are spaces in our newsfeed. So no one saw everything. That's the point of the algorithm, to decide what you might be most interested in so that you'll stay on the platform longer. And in the era of the social graph, the era that's ending, the primary pool the algorithm would pull from is the pool of people and pages you're already connected with. If you saw a post from someone or some page you didn't follow, it was likely because one of your friends interacted with it, either directly sharing the post, or occasionally you might see so-and-so liked this post, or so-and-so commented. Then came TikTok in 2020. Just like every other social platform, you could follow people, and there was a feed in the app where you could see posts from the people you followed. But unlike other social apps, that wasn't the feed you encountered when you opened the app. Instead, it opened to the For You feed, and this was driven by what is now called the discovery algorithm. It primarily showed you videos from accounts you did not follow. Now, if you interact with a certain account a bunch, whether you follow them or not, if you're constantly watching their videos all the way through or even multiple times, if you're liking, commenting, sharing, etc., those accounts would pop up regularly in the For You feed, but it was still primarily content from people you had not yet discovered. Now, to be fair to the other platforms, there have always been ways to discover new content and accounts. I mean, Instagram literally has a discovery tab that functions in much the same way. But it wasn't the primary approach to delivering content, and TikTok's algorithm was just so much better at it. The other platforms have taken notice, and they're racing to catch up, reworking their own algorithms and approaches to content style and delivery. In an earnings call with investors, Mark Zuckerberg said the amount of content people see from accounts they don't follow will double in 2023 on both Facebook and Instagram. Changes like these are only going to keep coming. And as I said, this means we need to rethink who is seeing our posts. The primary pool of people who are going to see our posts moving forward are not necessarily the people who have said they like you and want to follow you, but rather people who are interested in and engaging with the kind of content you're making. Now, this is a double-edged sword for churches, which we touched on in our last podcast. To quickly summarize, it means that it's going to be harder to reach quote-unquote our people via the newsfeed. That's why having a Facebook group is more important now than ever. This also means that posts simply regurgitating announcements or the details of an event are going to perform even worse than ever. That's in part because even the people who care about your ministry and want to go to an event are generally not motivated to like or comment on bare bones posts like this. But also, if a connection to your ministry is no longer a primary driver in who sees the post, why in the world would anyone not already connected to your church care about a post like this? But I hope you're also seeing the opportunity in this. the Discovery algorithm is ready and waiting to show your content to people who are not already connected to your church. It's literally waiting to help you with evangelism and serving people. But it will only do that if you're providing it with content that people actually care about and want to interact with. So, how do we know what people actually care about? Well, first, I hope you know some of the answer already because you're actually in relationship with your community, both inside and outside the walls of your church. But there are other ways to reach people where they are, answering the questions they're asking, and that is by looking at search. Yes, another major factor at play in the discovery algorithm era is search. Thanks to the interconnected services like YouTube being owned by Google and tracking cookies that we all mindlessly agree to, allowing companies like Facebook to see everything we do on our browser, even when we aren't specifically on Facebook, these content delivery algorithms, they're listening to the questions that we're asking. We're also seeing a dramatic rise in people going straight to places like YouTube and TikTok as their search engines. Recently, I needed to replace a part on my car, and I wanted to see if I could handle it myself. I'm not particularly handy, so I knew written instructions were going to be no help. So I went straight to YouTube, and I watched a video of someone making the repair. Not only did I determine that I could do it, but between the video view and the ordering of the part, I triggered a minor change in my algorithm. That meant I had car maintenance videos, articles, and ads popping up for a few weeks until the algorithm determined I wasn't interested in that anymore. Now, there are all sorts of websites and services out there that you can use to do keyword research. Some are affordable, but many are priced for professional marketers working in big money businesses. But on this podcast, we're all about first making the most of the tools that are readily and hopefully freely available. And when it comes to search, there actually are a few good options out there.
And now let's take a brief pause to hear a word from our sponsor.
Christian travel with Educational Opportunities Tours enriches the faith and lives of believers, empowers teachers and preachers, and energizes church ministry in unforgettable and lasting ways. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus as his life, death, and resurrection unfold before your eyes. You can also get involved in and learn about the struggles this region continues to encounter through contemporary travel options that we offer. Old and New Testament landscapes range from the Middle East all the way to Europe. And EO offers hundreds of departures and numerous unforgettable itineraries to choose from. Follow the missionary journeys of Paul in the Mediterranean. Engage in the historical and cultural implications of the scriptures when you visit ancient wonders in Egypt, Jordan, and Turkey. Contact EO Tours at 800-247-0017 or at www.eo.travel for your journey of a lifetime today.
And now, back to our program.
The first is the trending section on platforms like YouTube, TikTok, and Twitter. While you may not have an active church account on these platforms, you can still go in there and see what people are talking about and engaging with in the moment. Now, not everything there will be helpful, but you can at least get a broad scope of what's happening. The next tool that's actually a lot more helpful is actually the search bar itself on Google and YouTube. You know how when you start to type, it'll pop up suggested searches? These aren't just random auto-completions. Here's how Google explains it. Quote, auto-complete predictions reflect real searches that have been done on Google. To determine what predictions to show, our system looks for common queries that match what someone starts to enter into the search box, but also considers, one, the language of the query, two, the location the query is coming from, three, trending interest in the query, and four, your past searches. These factors allow autocomplete to show the most helpful predictions that are unique to a particular location or time. End quote. Now, while this won't show you currently trending searches, it will suggest searches related to words or topics about which you're searching. And did you notice it also tends to location base it? Like it looks at what is being searched in your location. That's super helpful. So if you have a topic you know you want to explore, you can use Google and YouTube and use their search bar to see what kinds of things people are searching related to these words. The final free and easy to use tool we'll cover in this episode is Google Trends. You can find it at trends.google.com. And when you hit the main page, you can scroll down a bit to see currently trending searches. That can certainly be helpful if you want to jump in on a timely conversation, say for a post on Facebook. But if you want to create a video or a blog post or some other resource that is less in the moment and more timeless, Google Trends is a powerful tool to explore keywords and topics. You can use the search bar at the top to dive into a word or topic and see the relative popularity of the search term over the last year. It's important to know that this is the relative popularity and not the raw numbers, meaning what you're seeing is the search being more or less popular just compared to itself. So you can search some main themes your church covers or values you stand for, and you can actually see what points in the year people tend to be searching for it more. And maybe that helps you strategically schedule your topics. You can also layer in other search terms and topics to compare which term or approach to a topic has drawn more attention. And this can actually be really helpful. So, for example, I ran a comparison of the words anxiety, worry, and fear. Which one do you think is searched for the most? Anxiety. That's the more searched for word, with fear second and worry a distant third. Now, this is important to know because while I may prefer to use the word worry to try to lower the emotional temperature on a post or to differentiate worrying from the diagnosable condition of anxiety, people searching for these things are not using the same nuance. Now, further down the search results page, you can also see related topics and related searches, which tell you what else people are searching for in related areas. One of the related searches for the term anxiety is actually Psalm 91. Now, what kind of video or blog post or Facebook post could you make that helps walk people through the prayers found in Psalm 91 as a way to relieve anxiety? Now, you may run this very search and scroll down and not see Psalm 91. And that's because I use the filter dropdown at the top to filter the results for my geographical area, which for me is around Orlando and Daytona Beach in Florida. Isn't that incredible? I can see all of this information, not just for the country, the United States where I live, but I can actually see it for my specific area, and many of you can too. Okay, so last thought. We have all of this information, but what does it mean for us? Do we need to turn our social profiles into trend-chasing accounts, just slapping together shallow messages or hastily filmed videos trying to ride a particular wave? No, of course not. What these trends help us do is refine how we present the content we've already made, and it might even help guide the kind of content we make into the future. For example, I reviewed the year in search summary that Google puts out every year. This information is by country only, but in the United States where I live, the top five trending searches in 2022 were Wordle, election results, and then three famous people who had died: Betty White, Queen Elizabeth, and Bob Saget. Now, you can go back through the previous years, and I promise you, you will see similar trends: pop culture, current events, famous deaths. Let's take that last one as an example. Now, while those specific people can't die again, more famous people will die this year. What might your ministry have to say to people who are processing the death of someone famous, who are encountering questions about death because someone they enjoyed or followed or thought a lot about has now died? Is there some former sermon you can grab a clip from and then you can attach the title, "So Beloved Famous Person Has Died"? Where can we find hope in the face of death? If there isn't a sermon clip for that, could you maybe talk your pastor into preparing a short video on that topic? Now, you see, the video doesn't have to be specifically about any one person or event. Rather, have your content ready to go in these big areas, or make new content on broad themes that you can add specific names or details to in the title, the description, or the opening paragraph. This helps you show up when a particular relevant theme is being searched or talked about online, and is one of the ways you can be sure that your voice is part of that conversation. And if you have something meaningful to say, you will greatly increase your chances of being discovered in this new age of discovery. And now, listeners, we want to hear from you. What are some major themes we might be able to prepare for that come up year in and year out? What questions do you have about the shifting landscape of reaching people online? Email us at podcast@umcom.org. We just might share your thoughts or recommendations on a future episode. And you can, of course, use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions for the show. We always love hearing from you. And as always, the easiest way to support the show and help other church communicators like yourself find it is by sharing this episode with your friends and colleagues and by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to us right now. And did you know that the United Methodist Communications Department has celebrated more than 80 years of ministry? Your support ensures that the latest denominational news, dynamic stories, and informative articles will continue to connect our global community. You can make a tax-deductible donation today at resourceumc.org/giveumcom. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.